I'm so drunk.
Welcome to the One More Rep podcast. We take it beyond the barbell. I'm your host, Mo Dingo. With me is Crack Bocaine. What's up?
I need some right about now.
Give me some of that. Give me some of that crack.
I don't want to do any illegal substances that are named after a part of my ass. Just putting it out there.
I do.
So you would do... Never mind.
What do you do, crack? If you didn't get drug tested, would you try it?
No, are you crazy?
What the hell is your problem?
I'm just kidding.
And again, you people asked for this. So, Jenna, I mean...
I'm just kidding.
What, we're like 45 seconds in. She's already kicking down doors.
Yeah, freaking... on Howard Stern, they had Bob the Crackhead. We need that for Jenna now.
Was that his name?
Yeah, Bob the Crackhead.
Yeah. Yeah, the guy, he died. He was only like 30-something when he died.
Well, that's what happens when you do crack, Mo.
See, so no, I do not want to try crack, Jenna. I don't want to be like Bob the Crackhead.
I don't know why you wouldn't. He's pretty cool.
Oh, he's dead. So...
Do you know who Howard Stern is?
Yeah, I do. But I just said I remember watching a YouTube video, I think, of... Oh, look, I can't look it up.
What? Bob the Crackhead?
Yeah, it's okay. We have something better. So what's up, Mo? How you doing?
I am doing glory... What am I drinking?
Some Marketplace.
Tangerine?
Oh, no.
No, this is...
Southern Tier.
Yes.
He died at 56.
Oh, I'm sorry. He wasn't 35. He was 56. But
Crackhead Bob.
I am drinking Southern Tier Tangerine Indian Pale Ale. Ale brewed with tangerine peels. Yeah. Drinking the last of the summer beer. Yeah. Bro's over there with a nice big glass of CO2.
And then Jenna's eating some little crack.
Yeah. Hold on. Yeah. If you guys have never tried this bare naked
granola.
Which one is it? Cacao.
Cacao.
With what?
Cashew butter.
Yeah. That's legit. Like, I've had this bare naked snacks before, but not the cacao ones. On point. Mm. That's probably as close as I'll get to crack, Jenna.
That Sorry. Is like crack, yeah.
I used to put it in, like, Chobani yogurt with strawberries and blueberries and put that in there.
That's
but
cool.
It's better if you just eat it plain.
That's too foo-foo for me.
I thought you were going to say, like, eat it like cereal and then put sugar on it. Or who put, did you put,
it was me.
You put sugar on the frosting.
Okay, guys, I have something to tell you.
Did the poll come, what did the poll say?
Wait, I got something more important.
Yeah,
I got a problem. I'm going to show you guys something, okay? I've not even showed Jenna this.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Something popped up on my fucking Facebook.
One of your memories?
No, mother effers. Ready? Go over here. This popped up, no shit, the next fucking day on my Facebook.
Tony the Tiger. That's the Zuckerberg phone, man. It listened to us broadcasting the show.
I've not seen a cereal sponsored ad come on my phone ever.
That is...
The next day, I say they're great.
Yeah.
And he's talking about...
That's the Zuckerberg phone, man.
It says, Kellogg's Frosted Flakes. Tony recruited Julie, blah, 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 Mission Tiger. And this dude is on my Facebook. To where I took a picture...
If you don't think your phones are listening,
they're always watching.
That's living proof right there.
Bro, Tony the Tiger.
Yeah.
But
Mark
yes.
Zuckerberg gave the One More Rep Pass, One More Rep Podcast $1 million.
Yeah, One More Rep Podcast. One More Rep Podcast.
And she's speaking her to her phone, guys.
I guess it'll only show up on mine, not everybody else.
$1 million.
I just want to let you know, though, I didn't have it up to my freaking face. It was in my pocket.
Yeah, that is creepy.
One More Rep Podcast.
It's up her ass.
Maybe if we like think about $1 million and say it, it will just like speak it into existence and it'll just pop up.
Well, it already has. It's called Patreon.
I don't get $1 million. But anyway, speaking of Patreon.
No, so
wait,
said
yeah, I don't get $1 million. Busted yourself, you dummy. She just admitted that she is getting money, guys, but it's just not $1 million.
Like 20.
20? You see how she likes to change the subject, Mo, every time
So all that money, and you won't even give Steph any money to edit this stuff?
Steph can have all of the money.
Because
I don't even want to deal with the money. Because I'll have to hear your guys' bitch asses. That's more painful than getting...
Getting what?
Then getting how much money?
Yeah. Guys.
As her new camera battery charges.
Yes.
Over here by the wall. That was shipped here once again.
But it actually got taken hostage briefly, though.
Yeah, so they had a baby shower for Gina on Friday. So people that couldn't show up were still bringing gifts. And I bought a backup camera.
Through Patreon?
No. But I get it shipped here because...
You spend more time here than...
Yes, at home. And yeah. I don't want to miss like the UPS driver or whatever if I'm here because I know when he comes. Mm-hmm. So I had it shipped here and the box was sitting next to a bag. And so Gideon took it with them. And then I'm in the middle of my workout and my phone or my watch is like blowing up. And then the first one says, Jenna, oh my gosh, you didn't have to do that or something like that. And then she's like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. We thought it was a present for us, but then we realized that it was like for you or whatever. And she's like, I'll bring it back. Or Patrick is going to bring it back now. So then Pat comes in and he's like, hey, thanks for the gift. And then he handed me the box.
You're an asshole, man. Why don't you just give it to him?
Yeah, it's only $1,000 body. But anyways, it was pretty funny.
Backup.
Well, yeah, because if I'm shooting a wedding.
And we're not debating that. What we're debating is.
Then I just ruined someone's best. Well,
it just so happens it's the first of the month.
It's the first. It isn't?
Yeah, it's getting close.
It's getting close, yeah.
Yeah, and that's when Patreon hits.
No, it doesn't. You don't even know when it hits.
You're right. How would I? I don't have access to it.
You could have had access.
So speaking of
the devil is in the details. But speaking of the Patreons, we have a couple of
awesome people.
Yes.
Jenna's sitting down once again, by the way.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay. So first up, Ryan Burgeye. Whoa! Lavana. Jerry Ricciardi.
No, I thought he wanted guns, right?
Oh, yeah. Wait. No, that was Ryan.
Ryan, okay.
Yeah, do him again.
We'll do Ryan's then. Yeah, that's that.
I feel like
can you do a better gun than that? Pew, pew. Shooting some lasers? You an alien?
Whatever. Jamie McCaff. Tim Carlton. Oh, that probably just burst some ears. Gareth Crowther. Okay. The guys are dying right now.
She finally looked up the didgeridoo.
Oh my God. There was 10 hours of it, she said.
Yeah, well, I YouTubed it and it says 10 hours of didgeridoo.
Now, I've DJed some long sets, but man, 10 hours of didgeridoo, that's pretty
intense. That's what Mo listened to on
his
Vision
Quest.
Maybe
that's like a world record.
It has to be.
Or maybe it's on repeat.
Could be.
Birdie Mays.
Where's my didgeridoo?
yeah. Michelle Rowell. And
last but not least,
Rick Terry.
So
always bring it home hard for Rick.
You do, man.
Yeah. Local boy.
Yep. Rick appreciates that.
He does?
Yes, he does. He said he really likes it.
So what I want all you awesome bomb Patreon folks to do is I want you to send in what sound effect you want Jenna to work on.
Yeah.
For the next show. So whatever you tell her, that's the sound effect she has to produce when she does the roll call.
That's just fine. It'll probably give me a better idea because I don't know how to do it.
But I think that's better though.
Because like 3 out of 5 of them sound identical.
Yeah, but I think the spontaneous thing is pretty cool. The gun needs some work though. That's yeah.
So maybe this will just be for the
I think my gun sounds pretty good.
Wait, don't even sound like a gun.
For the live episode, we'll have her. Whatever you guys pick is what she'll do for your sound effect.
So, what? They're making up all this stuff.
What?
What stuff?
The live sound effect?
No.
God, Jenna, just put your phone back up to your face.
The live episode.
Live episode, not
which
phone.
Will be taking place.
Oh, and then I'm going to do this on there.
Yes.
That's what we just said. Oh. Just listen. So I do have a challenge for you guys. We're sitting at 87 reviews. Okay.
Yeah, because we got 3 weeks ago, yeah. We got 3.
Actually, it was last week.
Well, but this will be three weeks from then.
Yeah, because we're talking about the future. But anyway.
We are from the future.
We really are. 87. We got three new written reviews this week, mm-hmm. or 3 weeks ago. So we need to get to 100. Okay, 13. 13 people. We're averaging 3,400 downloads a week. 13 should be pretty achievable. Mm-hmm. Even I could score 13% in school.
Even high school Brody Mays could score 13% on a test. Cold.
Yeah, without even warming up.
Without even going to class.
Yes, without even making cheater notes. I could definitely score 13. Okay.
How did you make your cheater notes?
Oh, I had multiple ways.
Did you like write it on your shoes or your hands or anything?
I would write it on the desk and then I would smudge it off with my finger.
Mm. I would do forearm. I'd wear a button down like sleeve. I'd have forearm.
Where'd you get that tattoo?
It's new.
It has significant meaning. A, B, C, A, B, B, D.
It just mattered in the class. Some classes you could pull stuff out. Other classes you had to do the old sign language and you'd have to make sure your desk was beside someone.
Smart kid.
Not me. Or who. If I was beside, I'd have to send the signals. Or either I was sending the signals or receiving the signals. But it just depended on the class. So
I like the tattoo idea better.
I thought the coolest thing was I seen this kid, it was on Facebook, wrote all the answers on the inside of a Band-Aid.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
Wow.
Yeah, so you take the Band-Aid off and there they are. They ain't gonna question no damn Band-Aid.
Was it like a quarterback flipping up the little pad, looking at the notes?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, when you flipped inside, all the answers were inside of the Band-Aid.
Wow.
It's pretty smart. It was definitely, so that would have been me of this generation. The only pause in that room.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. It's pretty smart.
That's smart.
Yeah. I never would have thought about that.
So, yeah.
Or you could just study. I don't know. Weird.
There was one.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. I wouldn't have either. So, I have no room to talk.
I don't remember what class it was, but it was when I was in high school. There was one teacher, like, she would let people go to the bathroom during tests. So, people would just go to their lockers and flip their books open and find the answers and then come back.
My luck, it would be like whoever I was cheating off of, they would have like a completely different test.
A different version of the test.
Yeah.
I had one teacher that he said he did that on purpose. He would give everybody all the versions look the same, but the keys were different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My teachers were too lazy for that. So
I had some teachers that did that.
Whatever. Moving on. Don't bring up my high school. I'm going to have some PTSD like we just talked about last class or last episode.
Last class.
See what you guys have done?
We've triggered him, folks.
Oh. Where's the crack?
So.
In my car.
I don't want to know.
Right.
We keistered it.
Jeez. You use the old prison wallet?
Yeah.
Your prison purse?
Ew.
Eric has a special spot for his prison purse. A little bit different there. He talks out of his.
Prison purse. If you're not sure what we're talking about, use Urban Dictionary. Yeah. Prison wallet.
Yeah, just Google. You can Google anything these days.
Almost anything.
Almost anything. So, really? As Brody enjoys the last of the bare naked there.
He just wasted half of it. As you can hear it hitting all the tin.
I'm sorry.
It's good. It's good stuff. But we do always enjoy getting messages from listeners. Just like last week, the PTSD episode was kind of brought on by some messages that we got from a OG listener and another OG listener. From the great white north, Ryan Marshall up in Alaska. Well, you said 2/3 of the state population is military up there. Is that what you said, bro? Coming to us from Arctic CrossFit. And he sent us a message. And he kind of wanted to know about tracking of, information when it comes to working out. So, talking about different things like wrist straps, chest straps, VO2 max, resting metabolic heart rate, etc. Are those things necessary for all athletes or only for the top tier to track? Of course, diet is number one, but this is for those athletes who are already on point with their diet. Ultimately, does intense tracking lead to increased performance over time? And we let Jenna pick the name of this episode.
Which was actually pretty good.
Yeah. And Jenna, this episode is called...
Stats and Shit.
Bitches.
Yep.
It's actually a pretty good name.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
if you guys listen to me more,
when it comes to tracking numbers, so.
Well, there's a key question there. Will tracking numbers make you more fit?
No.
Well, all right.
Sorry, Ryan. That's it. We're having a 20-minute episode today, yeah. Bro.
Happy okay, but talking. I disagree.
Oh.
What?
I can't believe you disagree.
Wait, tracking what numbers?
Oh, my God. And there's Jenna.
Okay, but then I like thought about it for a second. Yeah. Tracking what numbers?
I'm just going to disagree. You tell me. I'm going to disagree.
Oh, wait. We already said it wasn't nutrition.
No, we're going to talk about nutrition.
No. What do you disagree on?
I thought you were talking about tracking numbers.
I said, well, tracking numbers make you more fit. And you're like,
wait, tracking what numbers? Because when I say, when I think,
you didn't wait for the entire question.
Fucking mouth. It's just always. Like, oh my God.
What game show was that? If you cut them off before the end of the question, they stop reading it?
Or they shoot them in the face, Mo. That's what
No, I thought you meant like tracking macro numbers.
Well, no, we're going to talk about, I'm throwing that in there too, but we'll talk about that. But no, that's not worth.
This is the bullshit that we deal with, though.
Oh my gosh.
Look, all I said, will tracking numbers make you more fit?
You guys said?
And Mo says,
no.
And Jenna's like, I disagree.
I disagree.
I'm
talking about nutrition numbers.
I said numbers. We didn't say anything specific.
Guys, welcome to my life.
Welcome to our life. Thank God we got on tape. We hear this shit all the time when we're not recording. Holy crap. No one believes us. They know you sit down, but they don't know.
Okay, I'll just keep my mouth shut.
Thank God.
So
Mo.
Going back to the original question.
Yeah, beside freaking Bob over here. You said no, it won't make you more fit.
In of itself, tracking numbers will not make you
fit.
Why? Because the numbers, you're just recording results.
Right, you still got to do shit,
You still have to do something to improve
hey guys,
on those
I'm
results.
Just tracking today.
Man, I've been tracking numbers for like 10 years, and no I results. Still have not made any gains.
What
I don't
kind
understand.
Of numbers?
That's a better question, yeah. Jenna.
Oh, there you go.
Which is the first bullet point.
Yes, do you agree or disagree?
It depends what numbers you're talking about.
Oh, okay, and now we can have a conversation, asshole. All right.
So just globally talking, why should we track numbers?
Well, I'm just
why
being,
do we track
Well, we're
numbers?
Just being smart, right? Because some people think... If I just eat healthier, I'm going to perform better in the gym.
Theoretically, yes.
Maybe, but what is eating healthy to you?
Yes, which totally is the could be told. Question. Yeah.
Like when I always say, how much water are you drinking?
Enough. Wait. Now someone said a bottle. Is that what someone said?
No, I say, how much water are you drinking? Oh, I get plenty of water. I drink enough. Okay, well, how much is enough? 2 bottles of water a day. I'm like,
how big are these bottles?
20 ounces. I was like, well, how the hell is that enough? Like, my God. And that's the point, right? Just because you track something doesn't make you more fit.
Correct.
Just because you track something doesn't mean you're going to do it right. Right? That's what Jenna was disagreeing with before she even knew what she was disagreeing with. But, let's go with the fitness side.
So we're talking about the fitness aspect of it. Like what... Well, I mean, but again, backing up, why should we track numbers? You know, because we're establishing data points.
A baseline.
Yeah, a baseline of some sort. But obviously, with those numbers, we need to be accurate, need to be honest.
Yeah, don't be bro repping your numbers. You finish Fran in 9 minutes, but you give yourself a 450 Fran, and then you're pissed because the next 2 years you can't beat it.
Man, I have a lifetime PR and I can't beat it. Did you really? Really? Really?
And that's what I like was people like, they'll come in and be like, well, what's your max? And they'll tell me. And I'm like, oh, cool. Well, we're doing percentage work, blah, blah, blah. And kind of fill them in what we're going to do for class. They pull their 65%. I'm like, that looks fucking like they're 85 or 90%.
It looks a little rough.
So I'll go up again and be like, hey, man.
How old's that number?
Yeah. When'd you max out? 3 years ago. Okay. Well, were you training a lot then? Yeah. How's your training now? Well, I don't get to train much that much anymore. Look, I'm like,
how was your training back then? Oh, I made regionals that year.
All right. So I'm just going to say, let's take 25 pounds off your clean max today and let's try those percentages and see what happens.
Let's work on some technique today.
Yeah. Because you about folded in half on that 65%. That's not normal, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, numbers are critical to get a good baseline and a good overall view of where you stand, in my opinion, physically, overall. Yeah.
Okay. So when it comes to fitness, like What types of metrics would you recommend tracking?
Well, let's just go with CrossFit. Pretty simple. Rounds, reps, time, loads.
Every time you perform a workout?
Every single time. Yeah, I mean, why not? Like,
I'm just clarifying, just making sure.
Okay, if you don't... So for here, if we have someone that's scaling a workout, in their notes, we tell them to put what they scaled. Okay, meaning... like today, we had 20... Well, it's not really today. It's 3 weeks from now. No, we had 5 rounds of 15, 12 cal row. What was the middle part?
Hang dumbbell.
Clean and jerk. And then 4 bar muscle ups for 5 rounds. So it's 20 bar muscle ups. So in your notes, we would have them list... They did a green and blue band for this volume of bar muscle up. So next time we have a 20 or plus, they can make reference to their notes and see what they used. If they didn't track it, they're not going to always have that data point. So now when they go to just a green on a 20 plus workout, you know that that is a PR in essence. You have progressed.
Okay.
But if you don't make those notes and you don't take the data, you're not going to remember possibly... Because let's say we haven't had a 20 plus in a month. Say we've been hovering 30 or 40 plus. Or maybe we have, because a 20 to 30, okay, but 30 to 40 is totally different too in the volume.
Okay.
But if we had stuff that was maybe at the end of the workout, it was 15 straight through, right? So you completed the end of the workout was 15 bar muscle ups. It could be a different band. So unless you take these markers, you're not going to know where you were the last time we used that volume and on that movement.
Side note, when you're scaling people on the muscle ups, they still do the same number of reps?
No. Okay. It depends.
Okay.
Today we had 4 and these are meant to be unbroken. If you're going to prescribe, this should be unbroken every single round for the 5 rounds.
Okay.
So I'd be like, I treat it like double unders. Hey, who here struggles to do 4 in general? And hands would go up like, how many can you do in a row? 2, but I got to come down, shake it out, and I got to get for the third one. Well, this was a 20-minute running clock. We had to complete those 5 rounds, and then the remaining time, you found your 1-rep max full snatch. Okay? So we need to get them to where they're not taking this workout to the 20-minute mark because we needed a max snatch number. So time you get down off of the rig, out of your band, shake your arms out, get back up on the rig, get your foot in the bands to do 2 more, that's going to add up way too much time.
You're going to push up against that 20-minute cap.
You're going to push another probably 3 minutes onto your workout possibly over the 5 rounds. So that's kind of how we do that. Or if someone's just getting the skill, we'll do muscle ups and or attempts. You count your attempts and or made muscle ups.
Okay. Sorry about that. Just had a question about that. So talking about, so like you want to account for all your variables if you're scaling, whatever weights you used, RX versus scale down. Are there any other kind of data points they should document in their notes? Like, do you talk about, sometimes I hear you talk about like sleep or stress or like anything like that.
The only time I'll do food, and that's typically on a one-on-one basis, is I'll tell people I'm working with, hey, next time you have a really good workout where you just feel like you just dominated the shit out of it energy-wise, physically, just felt great. Write down what you ate for lunch, pre-workout, and breakfast and dinner night before. That way, we can try to replicate that in training at some point when we're working up towards a competition. We can test it pre to see if it was actually those foods or not. Okay. So if we found if it does work, now you know what to eat for dinner, for breakfast, and pre-workout going into a competition on day 1.
Because that worked for you.
It worked for them, right? Okay. So now you can do that. If it didn't benefit them, it was just one of those random days you just murdered everything. Maybe we have to look at your sleep, okay? So we won't push the food to the side, but now we can start talking, hey, how much sleep have you been getting? Because something happened. It's not like all of a sudden like everything lined just up. So you did something out of the normal to take it to that next level because you typically would suck at this workout.
Okay. Well, since you brought it up, sleep.
Yep.
Jenna, you get like 18 hours a day, right?
I think it's up to 19.
You're like a koala bear.
So when I opened up when I opened up earlier for YouTube, I hit Safari and I Googled this morning, can you get too much sleep? Because like the last, I think in the last week, two different times I've woken up and I just like seriously feel like dog shit. And I've slept probably 10 and a half hours, 10 hours.
Yeah, but you sleep the whole time.
Yeah, but
like the sleep quality.
Yep.
Okay.
It actually said, so, well, I thought it was interesting because it said something about if you get over 9 hours consistently, you have a greater chance of cardiovascular disease, which I didn't know that. But then like in the CrossFit world, it's like, wow, you know, for recovery for an athlete, that's like a really good thing. Like you should get a ton of sleep. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It was weird to see. But anyways, yeah, I sleep like between 9 and 10 hours most of the time. Mm-hmm. And then other times I go through phases where I cannot sleep. I've had like...
Well, no shit, Jenna. You've slept enough. Like, if you sleep 9 or 10 hours and you do that for 5 days, you really can do 5 days on, 2 days off.
I don't always think I get like sleep, though.
I'm just saying, Mo, she's got a bank going on.
She's got a sleep. Like, I can't sleep surplus.
Yeah. Like, if I'm in a deficit,
hey, bro, I can't sleep. Filled. Yeah, Jenna, you've slept more in the last 5 days than I have the last 2 months.
Probably.
There's probably times like I've gotten like maybe 40 hours in like a month like on a deployment or something.
But here's Jenna fucking get 40 hours in 2 days.
I'm not always like that, just sometimes.
So let's talk about something specific you mentioned about sleep. You said, was it good sleep?
Yep.
So how do you validate good versus bad sleep?
Well, I'm wearing one right now. I don't know how great it is.
Okay.
But there's a bunch of different options out there. Actually, obviously, Apple Watch has stuff for sleep.
Yeah.
There's that Whoop. It's like $3 million, I think.
Yeah.
If you want a watch and...
And a 50-year subscription.
Yeah, that's what you
mean. Yeah.
It is a 50-year.
You have to sell your young.
Yeah, basically. It's pretty expensive. I've done a lot of research. I was looking for a watch for my dad that had stuff for...
Blood pressure. Yeah.
That you had an instant readout on blood pressure. And so this one does.
How's that working out? We're not getting any juice from this, so we're going to talk about the company. But so bro picked up this watch, and I might turf my Apple Watch and get one of these because for me, I have a concern for my blood pressure too. So,
well, I don't know, Mo. It's been working for me, but it's not so much for him. So he has, I don't know how many years ago it's been, maybe 4 years ago, he had 3 strokes.
Yeah.
He had a stroke.
Which I never knew. Your dad's in good shape considering he's had 3 strokes.
Right. So long story short, he had those strokes. Went up to the Cleveland Clinic, had, you know, that's the top 1% of all doctors in the world, obviously. So
across the spectrum.
Yeah. And they ran so many tests on him over a long period of time, came to the conclusion they had no idea how the stroke occurred. Mm-hmm. And so supposedly 30% of strokes will go without knowing what caused them,
Okay. Which
is kind of scary, right? Because now you live your whole life. You have to treat it as if you're going to have another stroke. Mm-hmm. In reality, as he says, hey, I have the same possibility as of you now.
Yeah. Genetics.
Right. Just saying, not me, the doctor to my dad said, we have equal. It's almost he's reset. Like, him to have a stroke.
His stroke risk is
because they don't, he has nothing that had caused it that they, through all the tests, they can't determine what caused this. So, but they still put you on blood thinners. So you're on those for the rest of your life. You got to watch your Coumadin levels, all this crazy shit. And so obviously he has heart concern, but mechanically his heart is great for his age. Mm. It was more electrical type stuff they were fearing. So you watch your blood pressure. He's older, and he's 72 now, and got this, and he has a cuff that goes around the arm at home, and he also had one that went around his wrist. Mm-hmm. We compared the readings, my watch to the cuff. It was pretty close. This is not going to be dead accurate.
The watch is never going to be as accurate as the cuff.
Yeah, it should not be. And but it's relatively close. And as long as you know what your baseline is compared to the cuff, it's pretty transferable, right? If it's off 10.
Yeah, then yeah, just assume some variables.
So his, though, was all over the place. So that's kind of what got me concerned about these watches, is wonder why his is so different reading than what mine is.
Yeah, because it's the same watch, right?
Same watch, different people. We're using the same measuring device, which is a...
you're like a control almost.
A hospital grade type device at home, and to check your blood pressures. And so it's got me kind of concerned. But yes, got the watch. It's pretty cool. The pulse, it's pretty accurate, actually. I check the pulse on my phone or on my watch, and I check my own pulse. And it's actually pretty damn close, which kind of surprised me, especially with the blood pressure being just a little bit different. But it tracks your sleep. And so it does all this. But at the same time, man, it's there's so many variables when it comes to that. It does track deep sleep, light sleep, how many times you got up, and then it gives you a rating.
I think with the Apple Watch, it grades your sleep based on like how much you move and then your heart rate.
There's different apps for it. I had one on mine, but I cannot sleep with anything on, so I just...
Yeah, it was a little weird for me, but I've gotten used to it now. And mine just kind of gives you, like, there's a color gradient, and then also tells you, like, you know, how much, like, restful sleep or REM sleep that you had based off the lack of motion during, you know, a fixed period of time and your heart rate.
So this analytic will do heart rate and also takes your blood pressure every hour, on the hour, while you sleep. Then it takes that information, rolls into the movement, and then gives you a sleep thing. And I'm not going to lie, it's pretty good. If it says I got good or great sleep, I feel a lot better. And if I get something that's average, I definitely feel it. And that's before I even look at the data.
Okay.
It's not like I look at the data and be like, oh yeah, I'm average.
I'm tired, yeah.
Literally, if I'm feeling down, I'm like, oh shit, let me just see how I slept. Because it's not like I get up and like hurry up and download the, you know, to my phone, to the information to process. So I think it's a tool. It's not completely accurate, but it's a tool that it gives you more information than you would have if you didn't have it.
Now, if someone doesn't have one of these tools, how would you give them advice on like kind of maybe grading their sleep?
Performance would be a good one. Let's say you have a retest of a workout or a lift, and you didn't get good sleep the night before, or you're stressed and you underperform. You can definitely connect the two, I truly believe, or your food's off, your water's off, whatever it may be. I think you can do a direct connection. But
food for sure. Cause like sometimes if I drink water, obviously I'm going to wake up more times to pee.
So go ahead, go with that.
Well, I just meant like,
well, no shit. You can track your food, Jenna, but let's.
Yeah. But if you're eating fat at night before, that's going to keep you up. If you're.
You're saying food affects sleep.
Yeah, sleep.
Okay.
And
oh, like, so
I guess that's
how soon you eat relative to.
Yeah. Or when you're. What?
Well, you expect us to fucking know that, Jenna.
I can't say like, a full sentence without your ass interrupting me.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm trying to have you go for it, and you act like you say two words. You're like, how don't you know what I'm talking about? Mo had no idea where the hell we were, and Mo knows a lot.
Oh my God. I'm done with them.
Okay, what she's trying to say, guys, I'll explain it to you because she was talking in general.
No, I'll talk. You don't need to talk for me.
Well, let me hear it.
So, even sometimes, I don't know what to say. Even sometimes, like, I'll notice, stop, if I drink too much water before and then I'll wake up 50 times, then I still feel like crap in the morning when I wake up because I woke up 85 times to go pee. But I'm just saying, if you track that kind of thing and you're like, oh, wow, I have been like eating a protein bar with high fat before bedtime. Not that I've done that. But maybe that's keeping me up.
So, okay.
So that can interrupt your sleep and you can track it that way.
Cool. So I was wondering, because you were talking about food and you were talking about water, and I was like, water is definitely not food.
Guys, I'm done.
There's a huge misconception. We talked about this. Eating late at night is like bonus calories or some shit. Like your body.
Huh?
No, you know, people that we talked about in the nutrition episode where the big misconception was if you eat later, it's going to. I won't eat past six
because I'll get fat.
Yeah. Well, shit, what time do you go to bed? 7:30?
Yeah.
No, about 1 a.m. I'm like, well, what are you doing for 5 hours? How are you not hungry? No wonder you're starving. You tell me you're starving.
You wake up starving, yeah.
No, they're not asleep. They're up. Like, yeah, because they're up they're hungry. Yeah.
I'll be up till like 3 and I've eaten like 80 snacks already.
when I spoke to a sleep psychologist, they kind of gave like a basic rule of like an individual scale. You know, if you don't have one of these devices or anything, or you're not going through a sleep study, just kind of like, what is it? Poor, good, excellent. You know, just kind of based on how you feel, you know, in the morning, like, I feel most people should know whether or not they got a good night's sleep. Some people are more restless than others, but even within that, sometimes you just get better or worse sleep than other nights because some of them are external factors, like Jenna's talking about, get to go pee. Like last night, my dog was sick. You know, and she was like, and she just didn't feel good the whole night. So obviously I can't go to sleep because she's over there coughing and everything. So I, you know, go downstairs and sleep on the couch with her, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, so obviously that affected me.
Or you can just put him outside. I'm just kidding.
Waffle doesn't like the cold.
I'm always like annoyed, but then I feel bad. Like, okay, you're like inhaling your cough. What does that call that?
Whooping cough?
No. Reverse coughing. Or is that what that's called? Like dogs? They do that? Or reverse sneezing? I don't remember. One of those things where they...
You're going to have to educate me on this, Dr. Fisher.
Oh, no. You can't use Google.
Yeah.
You're talking about like a diagnosis.
Dogs.
Meg, do you know what she's talking about?
Yes.
Reverse coughing.
Dogs, reverse.
No, Mo, she's fucking crazy.
Reverse sneezing.
Reverse sneezing.
It is called
reverse. Yeah, I've definitely not heard of that.
Yeah.
Not familiar with that.
So, anyways.
Do you have a YouTube clip?
Yeah. I do.
Anyways, cheesy peas.
Yeah, but in absence of some sort of
when I'm trying to explain.
Okay, there's an ad. We're not gonna. We're not gonna wait for it.
In absence.
Just Google it, everyone.
In absence of some sort of device, I've seen things where there's actually like a mat that you can put underneath your wherever you sleep on whatever part of the bed, and they're Bluetooth activated, and it'll kind of detect how much motion pressure, things like that. Kind of expensive, but. If you're one of these high-end athletes, since this is something that you're trying to, you know, track, maybe a useful tool. But again, like Bro said, it's a tool. If you're not doing all those other things to assure yourself getting restful sleep, you can have all the tools in the world. It's not going to improve your sleep.
It's like getting a Diet Coke with a number one. Like, you probably defeat the purpose of drinking. Oh, I'm so worried about my sugar intake. But my God, I'm okay with this. 250 grams of fat I just got through a Big Mac, you know, or the new, what's that new fake ass sandwich they got out there? The
Impossible Whopper?
Yeah.
What's
that?
I guess it's
plant-based.
I don't know if it's obviously tofu is in plants, but.
I mean, at least they're trying, I guess.
Yeah. Anyways, it's a fraction of what it is, but it's still really high in fat.
It's still fried in preservatives, I'm sure.
So yeah, it's a tool. I think getting a grasp, I never tracked it until I had this watch. And it, like Jenna said, it was very challenging for me to wear it initially sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Now, good part about this one, I heard the complaint of the Apple Watch was it would turn on a lot. This one, like you can set it to sensitivity.
Like a blackout mode or something.
And then there's a time frame of when you set, it won't turn on unless you hit the side button.
Okay.
So, which is pretty cool. So, yeah, because sometimes if it's too loose, when it's trying to read the pulse, it'll wake me up because it's green.
It starts buzzing.
No, it's really bright green.
Oh, the sensor.
Aliens are coming to get me because I'm dreaming about aliens a lot now. So
ever since you watched that YouTube video.
Dude, I've watched so much more than that. That's a whole nother podcast right there.
You gone down the rabbit hole?
Man, that shit's real. You don't believe me? I got some episodes for you.
I have one.
Yeah, uh-oh. I agree.
So... other things to track. So food, we've talked in the nutrition episode.
Jenna, go ahead.
About tracking, you know, doing the macros. If you're not familiar with that, with the macros, you're counting what fat, carbs.
Protein.
And protein versus overall calories. Okay. Anything else you'd like to add about that? Like, obviously, the integrity of tracking. It takes a lot with the macros to... It takes a lot of diligence because sometimes you're weighing food and things like that, and it's a lot of work, a lot of startup at the front end.
Okay, I'll give you that.
But once you get in a rhythm and you learn what, you know, an 8-ounce filet looks like, and you know what a cup of rice looks like, you know, it becomes a little bit easier.
No, because you still measure it. I don't think
macros, again, is like a tool. I don't think it should be used for life. I think that it's getting you into... I think it's... Yeah.
I disagree.
Well, I don't. I mean...
Well, that's good. I disagree with myself.
You shouldn't count your macros forever. I mean, I guess if you're an athlete... I don't know. Even then, though, I feel like you're transitioning to a different lifestyle and you're learning... I don't know. I think it takes a special person to intuitively eat. I don't think it is for everybody, but I think that... I still think that counting macros shouldn't be... super, super long term, I guess.
Why are you being so liberal today? It's kind of your back and forth here.
I'm not. I'm just saying, like...
Oh, so you're telling me that my dad shouldn't do macros? That's what you're saying?
He's just starting it.
No, I'm just saying, though.
And his is for, like...
He shouldn't do it for the rest of his life?
I don't know. That's up to him.
No, you disagree,
okay, but
though.
He's going from eating, like, two different carbs, and he doesn't have the knowledge, the basic knowledge. So I feel like macros is for that purpose. Like, you're... training yourself what is acceptable to eat and how much. Like, no, you don't need a whole bag of rice for one meal, or a bag of rice, like potatoes and like half a thing of meat. You know what I mean? Like, it's teaching you how much you should be eating or should not be eating. And I don't think that you should become obsessed with tracking it.
There's a difference. You know that. I think you could track macros forever, mm-hmm. every single day.
Okay? I could.
No, just let me finish. I heard you disagree with yourself, but you could track it every single day. The hard part about an athlete is you're already doing so many other things. It's mm-hmm. like compounding. It's like sleep, recovery, water, macros, water, work, extra work, strength, skill work. Progression.
And you might have a job in there somewhere or a relationship.
Right. Everything I just named is what a higher end athlete has to do. Mm-hmm. Can you get burnout from it? Yeah, you can. Right. Mm-hmm. But I also tend to believe personally as a coach that it's not the macros that's burning out. It's the everything. It's you're just done with fucking doing it all. Like, I'm done. Right.
And when you start flipping desks and rearranging furniture.
You know, I think it's the process. So mm-hmm. if you're trying to get and you're trying to prepare for something, you are attacking the workouts differently. Your approach is differently. You're really solely focused on the whole project and everything that goes into it, which we talk sleep, nutrition, mm-hmm. water.
This big ball of stuff.
Yes. Right. And I think you can only do that for a certain period of time. I think tracking macros for anybody, my dad included, is great. I think he should do it the rest of his life. I hope my mom does it and she'll do it the rest of her life because, like she said, they don't know. They mm-hmm. don't know. They don't know what a bag of rice equals carbohydrate wise. Mm-hmm. And then if I tell them what that equals, they don't know what that means to them. Okay. I could tell them that one and a half cups of rice is 100, roughly, what is it? No, it's probably 80, getting close to 100 grams of carbs. Mm-hmm. Okay. I could tell them that, but they don't know what that even means to them. Okay, so it's 100 gram carbs. What am I supposed to have?
Yeah.
Well, they don't have a guideline. So that's why I think macros is good. Now, what someone like my dad, mom, people who are just living life and not really doing a lot of fitness, if they track that Monday through Friday and they go on the weekends, they're going to be a hell of a lot better position than if they were not to track it at all and have any idea of eating too little or not enough mm-hmm. or too much, because my dad had not eaten breakfast in probably 20 plus years. Mm-hmm. His lunch was always like
an apple or something,
some beef jerky. And he would eat like a cheese sandwich, old school hillbilly shit. but it's
Appalachian American.
And then his dinner is
meat potatoes.
Amazing. Yeah. Like they make
the full
most
spread.
Most amazing. And I'm talking like grilled salmon, asparagus, and, you know, some sort of gourmet potato with a salad. Like, mm-hmm. he's eating legit food at that point.
But that's one out of five meals throughout the course of a day.
One out of three, because he wasn't eating. Oh, okay. You know what I mean? He was eating breakfast. He was eating a snack and some beef jerky, that sandwich.
Cheese sandwich, yeah.
So he had no idea, though. He has no idea. And I think most of the people don't know. So I think Jenna is right. It's hard for me to say this. somewhat that if you become obsessive, which she did say, if you obsess about anything, it's
bad.
Well, it's good, but you make it bad because you're so cynical. And that's where she kind of hits it, where herself personally, like she's always tracking, trying to make it feed into the performance. Mm-hmm. And then if you don't perform well, your body doesn't change the way you want it. Now you're like, well, screw macros. It's the macros' fault. Well, it could be stress. It could be sleep. It could be a lot of other factors as well.
I mean, yeah, that obsessive part, but I also mean like when you're in a routine, you don't need to, unless you're an athlete and you're doing it for competitive reasons, then I understand tracking. Like I get there's a purpose for it for certain things or for your parents because they don't know. But I'm just saying when you get into a routine, you know how much to eat or what not to eat. It might not be like super perfect, accurate if it's rice or whatever, but you can kind of like track it. I just don't think it should be a forever thing for everybody. I just feel like it's like a tool. It's not meant for life.
Right. And I'll touch on that again too. She's right in the fact of it may not be completely accurate. And what she could be equating to is you go out to eat. You put it in your phone, but you roughly know, hey, I need 8 ounces of meat. Mm-hmm. And here's an 8 ounce filet. Well, mm-hmm. I know that's pretty good for me. And then, you know, you get a full baked potato. Oh, that's pretty solid. I can put some butter on it and not have a problem. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, your veggie. I totally understand that. I don't think you should always have to hurry up and get your MyFitnessPal out and, oh my God, I can't eat here because it's not in the phone.
Yeah.
Right. That's one thing. Right. And people I deal with there are usually on vacation. They go on vacation. There's nothing in. They're on a different place, location, whatever. Totally get that. But you're not going to get that knowledge until you do it for a long time.
Yeah. I was going to say a last thing. I think that like with macros too, the cool thing is that like you don't realize like, well, normally you eat similar things like for the majority of the time. It's mm-hmm. not like super broad, but like you're saying, if you go out to eat and you eat meat, well, a lot of times people, when they think meat, they think just protein. But then like if you get red meat or something, you know, there's fat in there and you really wouldn't know that if you didn't track it. I mean, you might, but I wouldn't have. So well, it's just interesting to like, you don't, it really.
The education process.
It's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
And trying to tell my parents, and I know you did too. Yeah, like,
I don't know. I never knew that New York Strip had that much fat in it.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
You wouldn't think it by looking at it.
Well, you think about it. When we were looking at it uncooked, you see all the marbling. Of course, that's all fat. Like, but you don't realize.
It looks so pretty.
Yeah. Of course, you instantly think ribeye is super, super fatty, which I get. Uh-huh. It's pretty relevant. But. Yeah. When you get to a strip, you're like, holy crap, I had no idea that a New York strip had that much fat in it.
Relative to the size,
Yeah, I mean.
Of the cut.
Yeah, so yeah, I think it gives you great information. Do you always have to scan everything the rest of your life? No, but until you can get really good at it, it's going to take years of that.
Yeah, and so I mean, the benefits with tracking all these numbers is like you have knowledge, mm-hmm. whether it's what bands you use when you do those muscle ups, or how much weight you scale down to for a particular workout. And then going back to the dietary part, knowing, once you gain that, once you have that base knowledge, now you can give yourself a little bit of flexibility, like when you do decide to go out to eat.
I think that's more powerful than like even just losing weight or whatever purpose that you're trying mm-hmm. for. I think just like having the knowledge of what you're eating is so important for longevity.
Because we've said before that for so many of us, we didn't really have a good understanding of what we were eating because there just wasn't the education wasn't there for our parents, and therefore it was kind of passed on to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I, to transfer this to the numbers since that we're talking about, if you are tracking, okay, you know when you missed your carbs that day.
Oh, yeah, you feel it.
And in the workout, because you're getting through the strength. You're already kind of tired. You go 6 or 7 minutes into a 15-minute WOD and you hit a wall and you physically can't function, mm-hmm. right? I watch it happen all the time. First thing I ask is their water, and then I'll ask their food. Because mm-hmm. in all honesty, dehydration actually gives you the same sensation of being low on carbohydrates. So I think knowing that information, like when I was talking about finding that super meal of of dinner, breakfast, snack, lunch, going into a competition is very critical, because you already know it works. You have the data because, dude, you crushed a workout you typically wouldn't crush. Let's say it's more of an endurance workout and you're more of a power athlete and you crush this endurance because you had your food on point 100% and it's what worked great for your body.
Yeah.
Now you have the info and then you can apply it.
So then we also touch a little bit on the bad part of tracking in the numbers when you get obsessed with it.
Yep.
And the numbers become
so, they consume you.
There you go. The numbers consume you and you're so fixated on that that it becomes a bad thing.
And I've seen the same thing with people on a weight scale. So,
oh, absolutely. Oh, I was that guy for the longest time. Like I did whatever it took to try and get those numbers to go down, but I was killing myself in the process.
But here's the thing, you know, I always, people I deal with that don't like to weigh themselves. First thing I say, okay, you know, what's the problem with weighing yourself? Well, I just don't like seeing the number. I'm like, okay, if you weigh 200 pounds and you look like Sarah Sigmund's daughter, would you be okay with it? Yeah, absolutely. So then it's not the weight, it's the body type,
yeah.
Right? It's not, they don't even
You just
care.
Answered your own question.
They don't care that it's 200. I said they weigh 200 pounds.
Yeah.
I'll weigh 200 pounds if I look like her.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But you just told me the weight was the problem.
Right. And it's not, it's the mental side of.
Associated with the number.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. They look at Sarah Sigmund's daughter and like, I'll do that. All day, I'll look like that all day long. Like, but you know what I mean? If I tell them that she's 200 pounds, like, oh no, I'm not going to weigh 200 pounds and look like that. No way. Not happening. It never happens.
If I could weigh 200 pounds and look like that, I'd do it. Yeah.
So I think that's the biggest thing on the weight. But yeah, if you obsess about the weight or you obsess about the numbers and you let it consume you, you really impact the people around you more than yourself as well. Because now you're that douchebag that ain't eating the cake.
Hashtag eat the damn cake.
Speaking of cake, I didn't tell you this, but on Friday after my wedding, I came back here to get coffee and I saw the cake there and I cut like the biggest slice ever. Okay, well, I already told you it's creepy like in at the night. Parking lot out here. Yeah, because there's like truck drivers and stuff down there.
So here you are.
And there's people in and out and I'm by myself. Cake. No, so I like ran in here, seriously. And then I locked the door. Well, I locked the door behind me and then I ran in here and I cut this big piece and then I grabbed it with my hand. And then I ran back outside.
So, hold on.
So I ate the cake.
Okay, but I want to ask you a question.
I didn't track it.
No, I'm not. I don't care about that. Oh. You came here on the way home. You got off the interstate to come here.
I didn't get off the interstate.
Well, yeah, you don't take the interstate. But you came here just to get the piece of cake under.
No, I got the coffee and the cake was just the top of.
Under duress.
Yeah.
How was it?
It was so good.
Was it from, you guys did open?
We did. We had a baby shower here for Gina.
Oh, for Gina. Okay.
Yep.
Shout out Gina.
Yeah. I cut the biggest piece.
She ate her cake and then everybody else's cake.
What kind of cake was it?
Well, I had a chocolate piece with icing, but I didn't really look at the box. It was just a big box and I knew that there would be some kind of treat here because I knew the party was here. So it was either a cupcake or cake. So
either way, it was cake.
Yeah. It was a local bakery.
Who?
Dobo's is in Piqua. They're pretty solid. They're a donut shop, but they do a lot of cakes.
Cool. Shout out Dobo's?
Dobo's.
Dobo's. Shout out Dobo's.
They ain't listening.
Okay. Because then they wouldn't be in the cake business. Maybe we should do a remote from there.
Yeah.
Like go sit in there and eat cake.
Oh, there you go. So kind of wrapping this up. So what numbers should we track? You talked about the workouts on a daily basis, but what about things like benchmarks and maxes, things like that? Are those important?
Yeah, covered that earlier. I think your max loads are huge. I think the people that come in here from other gyms, I used to be surprised. Now I expect that they don't know their numbers. Last of what their max is, they have no idea. Well, I have a 3 rep. Well, what's your one rep? Well, I can figure it out. It's roughly 90%. So that's what I'll base it off
just
of.
Just use the chart.
Right? But, you know, so a lot of people, or they haven't, well, we haven't deadlifted in 6 months. Mm-hmm. Well, that sucks. So what was your last deadlift? Well, I don't know. I didn't deadlift. I didn't max out.
I missed
out.
That day.
Right. I haven't maxed out for a year and a half because they missed the one day out of 6 months that they fucking, you know, whatever. But yeah, it's a critical. I think this all kind of ties together though, because I've got proven data on how much performance has went up through people I do nutrition for. So the right carb, the right protein, right fats,
For that person,
not only does the performance go up, but the recovery goes up, their sleep improves, their whole...
And that translates to the... That can translate to the floor.
100%.
Yeah.
And what happens, a bigger thing that happens is if they start losing fat, okay? So sometimes people won't... They'll lose some weight, but eventually we get right back to where we started, but their body's completely transformed into... something completely different. They may be down 4 inches, but they weigh the same as they did, right? Well,
their body's adapting.
Now their strength to weight ratio, even though they weigh the same at that point, they're so much stronger now because they put on this lean body mass. Or let's say, hey, they do lose this weight and they're down. Like Gary, for example, he's lost an astonishing like 56 pounds or something like that. He went from not being able to do one handstand push-up. Well, he couldn't even get close to prescribed. He was modified that. He couldn't do a chest to bar, couldn't do a toe to bar, couldn't do a bar muscle up. Mm-hmm. Now he's doing all those.
Just by shedding a couple pounds.
Well, 56, Mo. Well, so he's lost like...
A couple,
like,
2-3 pounds.
He lost a small child. Well, he was like, well, I can't do that. I was like, okay, have you tried it since you've lost weight? No. I was like, well, go up and try it. Well, he goes up and tries it and hits it. So now he doesn't like it because now he has to do the shit. So you know how that is. Like he got those baby hands because he ain't used to doing the high volume stuff like on that. And
you're like, oh, he lost 50 pounds. Well, guess what you get to do now?
Well, I said, Gary, if I put this 20 pound vest on, my gymnastics will decrease dramatically. Like I'll have half the capacity for the speed, right? And that's only 20 pounds. I said, you've almost done 3 times that. Like, I couldn't imagine putting a 60-pound vest on, going out there and trying to crank out a bar muscle up. Just ain't happening. It might happen once, but I don't know what's going to happen on that second one.
It might get a little wonky.
Jenna, will you try it?
What does that mean?
I want you to put 2 weight vests on
and try and do try a muscle two up.
Bar muscle up.
No. I don't think I could do one with one.
Yeah, you could.
What about benchmarks? Are those... useful tools like CrossFit benchmark workouts?
I think so, yeah. Well, sometimes you can test them too frequently because sometimes those take some time to develop some skill that may be required in them.
So you shouldn't do Fran Fridays?
Oh, that would be terrible. I would quit a gym.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, I would.
No,
if we did wouldn't. Fran every Friday, no, I would.
I bet you wouldn't.
Sorry, I wouldn't just, or I would never come on Friday.
Yeah, you would.
Don't. I have a wedding every Friday. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's my rest day.
Program rest days. I know you love those, bro.
I think Fran every Friday would be fun.
Uh-huh.
I think when you get...
But not Murph every Wednesday.
Yeah, then you would have people quitting, right? Because they wouldn't be able to function.
Which, little known fact, if you guys don't know, he actually did do that once a week.
What?
Murph.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait.
He called it body armor.
Oh.
Yeah. Well,
yep.
I mean, that would take a lot of willpower.
He's a special kind of dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. It's pretty sweet. Makes me feel like a bitch.
You are, so. You should feel that way.
Well, if you wouldn't do Fran every Friday, there sure the hell ain't doing Murph every
Wednesday.
Yeah, so you're a bigger bitch.
I know that I'm a little bitch.
We talked a little bit about the accounting for variables. So like you were talking about making sure you document the bands. Make sure you document things like food, sleep, water, mood, all that good stuff, because those things will pay. Play a role in it. But so maybe a question for some of our GPP folks or scaled athletes, like once you start tracking all this data and you start seeing performance, like maybe when should they consider going from scaled to RX? Like, is there like a magic moment or
no,
it's relative to the individual.
It's individual. And then the competition, RX competitions are a little bit harder. No,
I'm just saying like daily workouts, not just comps.
Daily workout.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be per gym. I mean, I would say, I don't even know if we might have 10% of the people who do our stuff as prescribed daily in here. Right. But the bar is pretty freaking high. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It just depends on your gym. Like, I think if you can move the weight appropriately within the time domain requested,
mm-hmm.
to get the same intensity of the workout, that's when you need to do it, right? Now, there's times you can test stuff when this is, at least at our gym, what we do. If you have an AMRAP of 15 minutes, okay, and you have a harder gymnastic aspect, that might be the time to either A, take that blue band off, and try the pull-ups and maybe count your attempts. That's up to your coach. Mm. Or reduce the number, right? Are you going to prescribe per se? I don't know, but it's a step in that direction. But maybe you can move the RX weight for that day.
Okay.
But you may be prescribed in half the WOD and the other half you may not be.
Okay.
So to do a fully prescribed workout, I think it's just going to depend on where you're at with the skill sets because everybody's is different. If it's a heavy day and you're strong.
And what's being asked of the particular workout.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think it really depends on the time domain to fall within that. I think that's critical because if you're super, super slow. And
you're taking a lot of rest.
Well, if there's no time cap, okay, and you take 23 minutes for a workout that everybody did in 12, mm-hmm. well, that's stupid. But just to put an RX by your name, that's what you got.
The cost benefits.
You're half as fit as everybody else at that point.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So you're getting literally half. That's more for you to be like, oh, hey, I went RX. I'm not knocking that, but let's do RX and get the same out of it as we're supposed to. Mm-hmm. I think a big misconception is bands. People look at bands like it's a modification, but if I said, Jenna, do 100 strict chest to bar pull-ups, okay, she would have to band those to hold the what we would want. We would want connected sets through all the way, mm-hmm. not ones. Because she'd do singles.
Not one and drop, yeah.
She could do singles all the way, but that's not what we want. We want strict chest to bar to develop the up and down, the eccentric strength and everything to the chest, the bar, instead of jumping, kipping, pulling to a chest. Yeah, she could do 100 singles and get them done, but she's not going to get the same out of it as if we said, hey, I want 10 sets of 10. Mm-hmm. Okay. She's definitely banding. She's probably going to have to band up again mm-hmm. at one point to hold 10 sets of 10. So bands are great if you use them for what they're worth and not for a fucking slingshot. Some of these people, man, they'll be like, they got so stretched out, they may snap just to shoot their ass up.
Or using so many bands that you can't even push them down.
Some people can help.
My leg will not fully extend.
Yeah. Yeah, women, I see that more with women because they need the assistance for the upper body, mm-hmm. but they don't weigh enough
to push the weight required down.
So it's kind of, some people getting those, I think people get stuck in between scale and RX for a little bit. They're kind of in the middle where you can do some of both.
It is purgatory.
Yeah. And they're hating life because they're like, man, I can do some RX. I just can't do everything.
Yeah.
And that's how sometimes women are. Their upper body is not strong enough, but they don't weigh enough to push these bands down, or their legs aren't strong enough to drive them down. Yeah. So it's kind of like, it's one of those things where you have to really kind
of uncomfortable balance.
Yeah. I would say just tap in your coach. They should know everything about you and let them make that decision of when you should prescribe or not.
Jenna, you got anything to say about the numbers and shit?
Nope. I already said everything I had to say.
Wow.
Which was a lot.
Actually, for once. She did talk quite a bit this time.
I was loud.
She was getting all feverish.
My keeper said, yes, you may speak.
Don't look at me.
What are you looking at me for with them weird-ass eyes?
All right. Good talk. Thanks for the episode, Ryan.
Yeah, good job, dude.
From Arctic CrossFit. Actually, did you tell you got his L1? He's up there coaching now?
Did not know that.
Yeah, up in Alaska. So shout out, Ryan.
Alaska. Nice job, dude.
Good job, brother. Actually, he should be coming back to America pretty soon.
Well, he's in America.
Well, he's in like the way out there America. Like he can see Russia on clear days. That's how far up he is.
Well, you know why, Mo? Because there's no fucking houses to block his view.
True, yeah.
I mean, you can see literally across the whole country with a pair of binoculars.
But, yeah, thanks, Ryan, thanks for the episode. And that brings this week's episode to a close. I'm Mo and I'm out.
Peace.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the One More Rep Podcast. You can follow us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram at One More Rep Podcast, or on Twitter at Can I Get One More. Or shoot us an email at canigetonemore@gmail.com.
You were getting paid for this shit.
Yeah, Jenna, need to use some of that Patreon money that you're funneling away from us. And what was the thing we couldn't do because we don't have enough? There was something we couldn't do because we don't have enough followers.
Obviously, Jenna's personal account will be us there. Yeah.
Wait, where does he live?
Australia.
Well, no shit, but what state?
You look like a fucking douchebag. Look at you.